Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Paul Ogando.
Amen. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 25. 2 Chronicles 25 and go to Proverbs chapter 4. While you look to that, I want you to see this video that kind of portrays what we want to talk about in a comical area. It's supposed to be a little funny, so it's okay if you laugh, but it just gives you an idea of the thing that we want to talk about, how aware we are of things. Watch.
Hi, my name is Elaine Gabmore, and I am a Christian. I have been following the Lord for over 22 years now, and it has been a real joy. He has set me free in so many ways. Church is wonderful, and I'm so glad that my freedom in Christ really affects other people. I see so many people could use what I have. I love my home. I take great pride in doing everything I can for my kiddos. I love to cook, and I teach Sunday school, and I am an avid tennis player. And I love reality TV. Those people are so messed up on some of those shows. We would like to think that we have a great future, even if Barry is always at the office and I resent his obsession to fantasy football. I mean, it's kind of a year-long thing with him. I love to talk about it, but the last time we got into a fight, discussion, he threatened to leave, but that was a long time ago. I mean, like 2 months ago. Would you edit that out, please? I don't want people to think that we have problems. We have both matured and learned to work around those little issues. We go to Grace Pathway of United Freedom on the Lake Church. We love it there. The pastor really has it all together. I do keep a pretty hectic schedule. Sure, the budget is tight and we have lots of debt, but hey, that's just life, right? I am just glad that my minivan will be completely paid off in 84 months. Yes, I am living the dream. I am so glad that the Lord has delivered me from my old way of living. Okay. I'm all right. It's all good.
It's kind of like a silly way to bring a reality that we all need awareness. And one of the greatest awareness we can have is a God awareness. And a God awareness is so, so crucial. Is the understanding that, yes, we sometimes kind of go through life just kind of putting up with the things that are in our lives. Just like that couple, there's just things around them, but you don't see it, you don't notice, you just kind of have learned to live with it. And many of us have kind of pushed that aside, needing that God awareness. And I think that's what God was doing for us tonight, just bringing once again the idea that we need to be aware of God. We need to know that He is there and that He is around us. And that is such a beautiful thing, just to be aware of God's presence in our car, in our home, in everything we do, because once that becomes a reality in our lives, it changes the perspective of absolutely everything. And awareness is so important that when our senses are awakened, we become we understand what is around us, what is happening. You know, with children don't become really fully self-aware to about they're 7 or 8 years old, and we've seen it with our kids, kind of when they hit that age, all of a sudden they notice certain things, except for one of our kids. Our kid Gabriel, our middle son, and he's going to hate the fact I'm talking about him, but he's always been very aware of style. He's really into, now he's growing his long hair and he plays soccer and he's just rolling around. I'm like, come on, man, what are you doing? Get the ball, you know, stop showing up your hair. We have a funny video, and I wish I could have it, but the video, we laugh in our family because it's so phenomenal. His sister is just totally carefree going, I'm a rock star. And their mother recorded, right? And he's all bored in a corner. He's like, Gabriel, aren't you a rock star? He's like, no, how come? And he says, because I just have a dumb white shirt. That's why. And so the next video cuts and the next video opens up and he's got a Lego Star Wars shirt. And he's all, I'm a rock star. And so all he had to do was change the awareness of what he was wearing or what he thought he had or what he was around him. And many times in life, we do things halfway because we're not really aware of the things that are around us, whether God or people. And I came across this verse, I believe Pastor Luke or Pastor Dan preached on this in 2 Chronicles 25 when he was talking about kings. And there was one verse that gripped my heart that it was so unbelievable. And it's this king called Amaziah, and he was a successful king, but it says a phrase there that was so incredible that is for us as Christian. And 2 Chronicles 25, verse 1 and 2, I'm reading on the international version. I really like the way it says it, but you can, if you have King James, it's okay. If you have your iPad or phone, you can find it. And the international version says this: Amaziah was 25 years old when he became a king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother named was Jehoadan, and she was from Jerusalem. Now, verse 2, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Next sentence, but not wholeheartedly. Another version says, but not with a perfect heart. And I thought to myself, how in the world can that happen? How can he have done the right thing before God? Because that's what it says. He did the right thing in the eyes of the Lord, but he didn't fully with his heart. And you know what? That verse gripped me because a lot of us in Christianity walk that way. We are Christians. See, Amaziah, he was a great king. He was a successful king. If you read the rest of his story, he became a successful king. He defeated his enemy. But you know what he did? He brought the idols of his enemy and put it also in the worship house and worshiped to God and to the idols. And we do that as Christians many times in our own society. What we do is we halfway. Where Amaziah is the typical modern Christian that if something better comes up, then they do that over being in the house of God or being in or being with God. I mean, that is a typical modern Christian that happens to all of us, that when we open our phones, since our Bible's in our phone, we open Instagram instead of the Bible app. Oh, just me. I'm sorry. You're perfect. Okay. We all do it. We all lend half of our heart and our attention to God. And it's such a challenge for all of us to become God aware. We just that he is around. Having that awareness of God is an absolute powerful thing for transformation in our own life, because the Bible says that this man was a successful man in the eyes of the Lord, yet he did not serve the Lord with his full heart. And you know what? The challenge I felt tonight as we worship is, I don't want to serve the Lord with half of it. I don't, because I remember the days of my adolescence and my late teens and even into college where I wanted, oh, God, use me, and I would cry out in service. And then God decides to use me because I was crying in every service, and then I only give him half of it? So maybe this message doesn't apply to you tonight, but would you be okay if I tell you how I feel? Because this message is for me. This message is for all of us who at some point were absolutely going so fire. We were so aware of God's presence. And at some point we put him aside on a peripheral view. And God wants to be center into everything we do and he does for us. Are you with me tonight? And so this helps us, because having an awareness of God helps us separate between what's temporal, what's now, and what's eternal. Because when I have that separation, I really put value into the things that are important. One of the things I did with my oldest son when he turned 13, a Book of Proverbs is my favorite book of the Bible, and it's been a book that has transformed my life in different stages. So every year I try to read it at least once a year. And so I gave him, when he turned 13, you know, we went out on a father-son time, and so we went out, and so I typed it out for him. I said, son, I want you to have Proverbs 4 as your guiding light as you walk, because Proverbs 4 is so profound, nice, you know. And I said, I need you to have this, and I gave it to him, and whenever you remember, I want you to read it, I want you to keep it mind, because it's such a powerful chapter. And so, yes, Dad, and you know, good teenager, he forgot about it, but you know, I remind him from time to time, hey, read chapter 4. And I want us to go there tonight. Go to Proverbs 4, and we're going to read the end of the chapter, because it's so profound. I'll let you read the rest of the chapter, but it's a profound chapter that talks about all kinds of areas of life, including your emotions, including your love life, including your finances. It's just an absolutely beautiful chapter. And starting in verse 20, we're going to go all the way to verse 27. I'll look at other verses, but you can remain in your Bible there tonight. And he says this, Proverbs 4, verse 20 says, my son, Give attention to my words. So God is speaking and said, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my saying. In other words, pay attention and focus into what I am about to tell you, into the things that I'm telling you. And how many of us older now do say, man, my mom was right, or my dad was right, right? The things they said then, we were like, forget you, man. You don't know what you're talking about. You're old school. And then we're the ones old school. We're saying, the old man was right. You know what I'm saying? And so we kind of repeat the cycle. And so he's saying the same thing, like, hey, incline your ear, pay attention to my sayings. Verse 21, do not let them depart from your eyes. So basically, keep them in front of you all the time. Keep them focused in you. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Very important. So today, pay attention to these body parts that he's using, these things that he's saying, your eyes, meaning your vision, what you see, what you pay attention to, your heart, what is the essence of your life, who you are. So he's saying you have to keep the word of God in those areas of your life. Continue in verse 22 says, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. So all their flesh. So he's just absolutely surrounding them. Verse 23, this one you know, this one's a popular and famous verse, but you got to read what follows with it. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Can you read that verse with me out loud tonight? So it gets in you also. 1, 2, and 3. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Famous verse. We all say it. Oh yeah, keep your heart. You know what's awesome about God? He never tells you to do something and not tell you how to do something. Never. You read the word of God, there's always instructions on the word of God. And so we read this verse and we stay there. Okay, out of it. But no one ever tells you how you continue to do this. And he does. If you continue to read, and we'll look at it tonight, he brings about elements that you and I should have in our life in order to become God aware, in order to save our hearts, to maintain our hearts, focus on him. And so I want to go through four basic things, four basic ways for us to become more aware in every area of our life. And so I like to teach this way because it helps me in my analytical mind. It helps me keep things in perspective. Four things that he says right here in the next verses that are absolutely powerful. Here's the first thing he says. I want you to be aware of what you say. I want you to be aware of what you say. This is so crucial. And let me tell you, I'm not talking about gossiping. There's tons of verses for that too. But I am talking about the things we say about ourselves and the things we say about our future and the things we say about life. The Bible is, well-versed and documented that our words have power. And the things we communicate and say about ourselves and about our future are really, really powerful. And so the way we keep our hearts is grounded is we need to watch out for the things that we say. Because those things really are kind of, they go deep. My wife is really good at this, is correcting me if I say anything. Not correcting, but saying, oh, you got to say something different. If I say something, she say, you got to say something good about yourself or whatever. She's just on me all the time. So when she's away, I say, okay. No, I'm kidding. I don't do that. But you know, a lot of times we have to just keep in focus and keep in mind that the things we say are very, very powerful. And we may say, oh no, they're just words. They're not just words. They eventually become a way of life. And so it's so important for us to see that, because he says that, hey, you have to understand what happens in the things that you say. As a matter of fact, we're so aware of the conversation, and this is why it's important to be aware of God and have a God awareness of what we say. Let me tell you, have you ever had a conversation with somebody that's kind of intense, and as soon as your kids walk in the room, you change? We all do. Because all of a sudden we became aware of a child and thought, this conversation is not appropriate for this child. And what God is saying, if you become aware of me around you all the time, it would be different the things you say if you knew God was around you. And he said, you got to be aware. You have to wake up to the things that you say. Proverbs 4:24 says, put away from your deceitful mouth. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put a perverse lip far from you. He's saying, hey, don't be just saying stuff. Don't be just saying all kinds of stuff. As a matter of fact, I won't read it tonight, but Proverbs 19:1 says, it's better to be poor than to have a foul mouth. Mm-hmm. So it's worse if you're poor and have a foul mouth. That is just not good. So he's saying it's better. I mean, it's written in the Word of God. If we believe the Word of God is true, it's written in the Word of God saying, it's better to be poor than to be just a foul mouth person. This is so crucial. Because these things shape our lives, shape our children, shape who we are. And so I got to get better at it. You know, God is challenging us to do that. He's saying, put it away from you. So the way you keep your heart is by watching and becoming aware of the things you say. And this is so important. Let me tell you something. Over the last election, we all know it was a gut-wrenching election all over the country. We all know it was absolutely tough, but I was so amazed at the things I read and saw on Facebook and the things we're willing to say. I mean, I read, saw, heard. People were at each other. Friends that were friends for a long time just broke up friendship over politics. I mean, it was the craziest thing. I haven't been in politics or seen things like that in a long time. Here's what's amazing. That once the elections ended, I have never seen, before or after that, those people be so bold for God as they were for their political party. Don't leave yet. The message gets better. Just. It's true. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yep.
And he said, just put it away. If you become aware of God, that's not an issue. We just don't go there. There's no need for that. There's no need for us to become so involved in things of life that do not move forward those things that God is saying. If God were so involved in politics and were so concerned about what happened in government, even though we should be and we live in different days, you never see Jesus talking about the Roman Empire. Ever. How is that possible? There's volumes and volumes and volumes and volumes of things Jesus said. Never said anything about that. Because Jesus understood that what he said was far more powerful than everything that was around him. Far more powerful. Far more powerful. And he's saying to you the same thing. What you say, it is transformative. It can do amazing things. James 3, 9 and 10 is a famous verse that many people quote and say. It says, talking about the mouth, he says, you know, the tongue is such a small thing and can light up a fire, and the fire lights up a forest, etc. And then he goes on to verse 9. He says, with it, with our mouth, we bless our God, our Father, and with it, we curse men who have been made in the similitude or in the image of God. Isn't that the truth? Do we have honest people in church tonight? They're all quiet now, huh? It is true. We all do it. We all do it. We all come to church. We worship God. We get on the freeway and we let it loose. Verse 10. And out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things are not to be so. Saying it ought not to be that way, because if we become God aware, then it changes. And let me speak to many of you, because a lot of times we as pastors and full-time ministers get judged. You don't work where I work. I used to have a secular job before I had the job. And I know what goes on in a secular job. I know about the sleazy secretary, and I know about the guy who brings naked pictures on his phone. I know that. It's out there. But I'm aware of God also. And I'm aware that God understands the setting in which I work. And he's willing to be there with me and guide me through it. So don't make the gospel just a church thing. Make the gospel a life thing. And it absolutely changes because we become aware of the surroundings of God in our own life. Those are real things, guys. And God is interested in your life and being there. Point number two is important. Be aware of what you say. Be aware of what you see. Be aware of what you see. And this is a logical one. This is a logical one because we all understand that. But the problem with this is that everybody always, every time there's a teaching about this, always brings it down to pornography. Always. Oh, don't watch that. That is not what the Bible is talking about. The word see in the Word of God is perspective. His perspective is the way I look at life has to be different. Now, I'm not saying those things are right, but let's not reduce our life just to this one instant or this one moment or this one thing that kind of gets reduced to that. Look what he says. It says, let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. I'm going to share something. I haven't talked to my best friend, Pastor Joel. We always hang out together, but I'm so proud of him. He's such an example for my own life. And so the other day we went to eat. And so as we're eating, we're sitting in a small table across from each other. And so we're talking. All of a sudden I see he does this and keeps talking to me. I'm like, the heck is he doing? Like, why are you talking to me that way? And so I'm just sitting there talking and he's doing this. And I just realized I'm decided to look around and there was a girl here with really just her gym clothes. Let's put it that way. Very revealing. And I was so proud of him. because he took a stand. He looked ridiculous, but he took a stand in his own heart. And he taught me a lesson. And so for all of us, he's putting what the Bible's talking about. Hey, keep your eyelids where they're supposed to go. Keep your focus in the right place. Pastor John is happy saying, thank God you're saying, because I'm just going to kick him out tonight. He's gone. Save you one more night at your house, bro. Pay me later. A lot of times they put horses and they blind them. They put these things to the horses on each side. So the horse keeps only looking straight so he's not distracted and keeps his focus in where he's walking. And so the Word of God has a lot to do with what we see, what's our perspective, what we put in front of us, how we see these things. And because it affects us, it affects the way we think. As a matter of fact, Matthew says it this way in the New Living Translation says, Matthew 6, 22 and 23. Are you okay tonight with me? Can you understand my English? Okay, good. Your eyes is like a lamp that provides light for your whole body, for your entire body. And says, when your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. Now, we can understand that. It's saying the things that I consume through what I see affects my heart. And remember, out of the issues of life, says protect your heart because everything comes out of there. And I want you to know that I grew up and when MTV was starting to explode and we saw all kinds of stuff and all the shows and The Fifth Wheel and all those other shows that now look like kindergarten plays in comparison to what they're showing nowadays. But I remember all those days when I was growing up and seeing all these things. But there's a couple things. Look at a phenomenon. A phenomenon is people to watch. They go on YouTube and watch videos of people getting hurt, like real people getting really hurt. And that's entertainment. And so when I allow that thing to get into my heart, I lose a touch of sensitivity for the real human being, for the real person, for the real pain of people. Like, I don't laugh at people getting hurt. There's people that can't control themselves and they just laugh when people fall, whatever. You know what happened? I just put myself, if that was me, I would want help. If that was me, I don't want somebody laughing at me. And so what I see maintains that was in my heart. If I allowed everything to come in, then that is going to affect my life and everything is going to flow out of that. Are you with me tonight? And it's so important for us to do that. I shared this with my Bible college students a long time ago. And I'm not saying this is sin, please. I'm sharing from my own life. You got to bring your stuff to God and let him speak to you. Is that okay? But many years ago, probably 4 or 5 years ago, I've always been, you know, kind of like a guy. And so I was watching MMA and the fight. I used to practice Taekwondo. And so I love the stuff. And so I'm watching. And one day, the show ends, you know, watching the MMA fights. And so I go upstairs and I'm amped up. I mean, I'm laying in bed. I'm just like, you know, running all the fights through my head. And my wife is looking at me like, what is wrong with you, boy? You know, so I'm just laying there. And then God speaks to me and said, I don't ever want you to watch that again. I thought, what's wrong? I mean, warriors, I mean, we're man, come on. But I just realized that watching that affected my behavior. I became more aggressive verbally for no reason. I became more aggressive in my thinking for no reason. So God was speaking to me that what I consumed through my eyes was affecting my heart and my view of life. And so this is really important. Maybe it doesn't happen to anybody, but it was happening to me. And my family was getting the brunt of it. So why would God want that? That's exactly what he's saying. If I become aware of the presence of God through the things I consume in my eyes and how it affects my heart, it changes my perspective of life. And it's really important for us to do that. Don't look at it like, oh, you're trying to be some prude Christian. Look at this. This guy's a joke. No. Tell him, if I watch that, this gets rotten. And if this gets rotten, my life goes out the window. You can't let that happen to you. Because you have to become aware. Verse 23. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. I was letting darkness consume me. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. You know what he was saying? He's saying, if the perspective you have is actually wrong, you're in worse trouble than you think you are. You're in worse trouble than you think you are. And that is what the Lord wants to pull out of us. When we become aware of God, he highlights those things in our own life and he points at them so we can bring a change into our life. So be aware of what you see, be aware of what you say. I got two more for you tonight. Four basic ways that God wants us to become aware. Number three, very important, be aware of what you think. Be aware of what you think. And I heard a story that was so amazing. I couldn't believe it. I was listening to the news and on radio as I'm driving to church. I'm listening to the news, and the news was that there was this man who turned off everything, TV, radio, Facebook, everything, a month before the election. And it was 8 days after the election, and he didn't even know who won the election. And so they're asking this guy, how do you do that? I said, I told all my family members, my kids, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to know. And he said, I was so happy and peaceful for that month, I just don't want to know. And what he was saying is, I don't even want to think about it. I don't want it to enter my mind. I want to protect what I consume because this is so important. Let me just tell you something. Your mind is not as private as you think. And the Word of God teaches exactly about that. For the last year and a half, 2 years, I've been on a journey to really re-transform my mind with the Word of God, just what the book of Romans says. I really took a stand on the craziness in my own head, thoughts, whatever. I just said, God, you teach us in your Word. Your Word is full of it. I decided to do a word search on mind and was blown away at the amount of verses that the Bible talks about the mind. And when I saw that as a student of the Word of God, I took it serious. I said, God, if this is so serious for you, I'm going to change my own way of looking at what is in my mind, because it's not as private as you think. As a matter of fact, Pastor Craig Rochelle, Pastor Ed Meyer last says, your life moves in the direction of your strongest thought. Your life moves in the direction of your strongest thought. What you are thinking is what you actually end up doing. Not what you think you want to do. Oh, I get through that. No. What you're actually putting your mind to it is what gets done and accomplished. And this is why it's so important that the Lord calls us to transform our mind. When we come to Christ, our spirit is changed. That moment you said, God, forgive me of my sins. Your spirit, bam, you're a new person. But this and this is called the process of sanctification. There's a process that God puts you through things. He wants you to change. He wants you to think about. Think about what you're thinking. That's what God is asking us to do. Think about what you're thinking. And so it's very important. Look what it says. Proverbs 4:26 says this. Give careful thought. Can you say that phrase with me? 1, 2, 3. Give careful thought. One more time. Give careful thought. It doesn't say just think. It doesn't say just let anything. It says give careful thought. Careful thought. This is, I mean, I'm telling you, this would revolutionize your life. Couple things I began to do and try to get better at. I used to just get home, maybe a tough day here, some guidances or problem with members or things that would happen. And so I would just get home and park my car and get in the house, and everybody just kind of gets the brunt of whatever I had on me. I had to change that. So now I park my car, I breathe, I think about it, put my mind, let my own mind know my children didn't do anything wrong. It was some other knucklehead, not them. So why would they get the brunt of what someone else did? And it only began when I changed my mind, when I changed my way of thinking and looking at life. Am I being too transparent with you? Are you scared? You're like, I don't want to go to that house. Poor wife over there. She's tough. Don't pour no lace. She's skinny and small, but she'll put me in my place. So give careful thought to the path of your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. So you have to be pensive. You have to really put an effort to what's running through your head, because this is the big issue. As a matter of fact, mental illness is such a big issue in modern day today. Such an important issue, and the church is trying to take it on as much as possible through many ways, because mental illness is a reality. It's a reality. And it all began with us understanding the kind of thought that goes into our head. And the Lord is saying, you have to be aware of them. As a matter of fact, he says, I know the thoughts. One version says the plans, but one version says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. They're of good and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I'm thinking good things about you, man. I want to bless you. That's what the Lord is saying. So I'm like, if you're thinking good things, why am I going to think bad things? I want the good things of God in me and let them become a reality. 1 Chronicles 28:9 says, as for you, he's talking about Solomon when he blessed him to lead the people. It says, my son, Solomon, know the God of your father, says, and serve him with, check it out, what we're talking about, with a loyal heart and a what? And a what? Oh, so God is not only requiring our hearts to be fully engaged, he's also requiring our what? our mind to be fully engaged. Let me put it this way. If you're married or if you have a boyfriend or girlfriend, you're engaged, if he says, I love you, but all he thinks about is what he has to do next, you would question his love. So why would God be any different? I love you, but I can't wait to the next thing. So when we engage with our whole heart and our whole mind, God is delighted by that. He wants that connection in every area of our life. Continue saying, he says, for the Lord searches all hearts, and understand all the intent of the Bible is full of this. You probably say, man, I wish I had one of those silver helmet, protect my brain waves, whatever, from going out. I don't want God to know what's going on in there. He said, I understand it all. This is so powerful because he says, the intent of the thought. Do you know, if you've ever been involved in the law, that you could go to jail for the intent of what you were trying to do? And God is saying, I see your intent. I am concerned what's in your head. So if it's good, it's going to bless you and your family. If it's not good, he'll look at it also. And he wants us to be aware of that, to be aware of what's in our head. So it says, if you seek him, he will be found of you. He will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Wow. He's saying, you don't want to think about me? You don't want to be aware that I'm in the room, I'm in the car, I'm at the job, and I'm everywhere? Then let me know when you need me. But for now, we're not in it. So God is concerned with what we say, with what we see, and the things that we allow in our minds, because those things will lead our life. I got one more for you, and we're done for tonight. Can you handle that? Five more minutes. Number four, be aware of where you stand. Be aware of where you stand. And this is important because standing in the Word of God, Pastor Jim has taught us that standing is really how we live out life, how we do things. In other words, how you do life, what things are firm under your ground. Pastor Luke also alluded to this today. What are the things that support your life? And he's saying, if you're gonna be aware of God, you gotta know where you stand in life. You gotta continue to take a stand, watch your step, watch the things you do, how you do it, who you do it in front of, and the things that are happening in your life. Proverbs 4:27, the New Living Translation say, don't get sidetracked. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. Don't get sidetracked. Stay absolutely focused in doing those things. Don't let your feet wander in the things that are not for you. This is so crucial. So crucial. You know, when I was a young boy, I didn't grow up in a tough neighborhood. It was a middle neighborhood. From time to time, the guys would get out of hand. And I remember the cops coming down. We were all in the park. There was a park in front of all our buildings that we lived in. And so we used to play baseball there. And so if you watch baseball, I'm from the Dominican Republic. We just got eliminated by the United States, but you're forgiving. It's okay. I love you. We'll continue. We'll go and watch them. We used to play baseball and basketball right there in the park, right in front of our house. And I remember the cops came in one day. And so when they came in, because a couple of trouble-headed guys were doing stuff, selling drugs. I don't remember what it was. I was like 12, 13. And so they were messing around. But I remember the cops going and interviewing everybody and kind of figuring out what was going on. And I learned that lesson right there in that moment when I thought, here I am. I'm in the same vicinity of action, even though I'm not part of it at all. We're playing baseball over here. These guys are on the corner over here. Yet we're all rounded up in the same bunch. And I learned the importance of being in the vicinity of trouble. Yeah. And this is so reminding. Don't get sidetracked, man. Don't get sidetracked to going and doing and things. Hey, I'm not really doing, they're just my friends. You're gonna get messed up. Right. Don't get sidetracked. Don't get sidetracked and doing, everyone does it at work. Well, then don't, if you know that is wrong. That's right. Then don't. And these are the things that God wants us to keep in mind when we're doing this, because when we become God aware, all of a sudden those things, those perspectives change in our life. We think differently and look at life differently. I used to work for a big dental company, and we had offices in California and in Las Vegas. And I remember we get a shipment of dental toothbrushes. And so we have this thing, we used to give it to the patients, and it was a donation. And I had this friend, this girl, one of the girls from the office, she just grabbed a whole bunch, put it in her purse. She's like, oh my gosh, we got all this donation. And I remember my boss looking at her like, what are you doing? like, you're stealing from me. And she said, no, I'm not stealing from you. That was given to you. It's all free. He said, yeah, but it was given to me. I decide if you can take it or not. And it was such a life lesson for me because it is so true. Our perspective has to be evaluated by those things. Like, you can't just think this is mine. And God is saying, I don't want you to get sidetracked in life. I don't want these dumb things of life. As a matter of fact, the book of Hebrews says, this sin that easily ensnares us, this thing that so easily trips us up, like just happened. Like, what in the world am I doing? So simple, because if we become aware of what I'm seeing, what I'm saying, and what I'm thinking, it allows me to walk in the right direction and looking at the right things. I'll end with this. The book of Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul says the following. He says, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. I hope you're wise tonight. I hope you're one of the wise that the Apostle Paul is talking about and not part of the fool club. Are you with me? It's so important. He says, don't do that. Be wise. Be wise. Verse 16, see, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. This was written such a long time ago, and back then they were evil, and today is no different. And he's saying, make the most of these evil days, of difficult times in your life. And it ends, verse 17, saying, don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. And that is exactly what he wants us to do. You know what God wants? He wants us to be aware of his presence. And the way you become aware when you protect your heart is you become aware of the things that go into your eye, the things that come out of your mouth, the things that take over your thought, and the things that you do in life as you walk in life. Because when you become aware of God, all of that would change for better in your life. If God spoke to you, give him a hand because he's worthy of it.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.